Sounds good. Well, man, that song was dead on. I'm kind of full right now. I may leak. Can y'all handle that?
Oh, yeah.
Going through the things that I've been through, I've learned how to just express whatever's going on. And God gets a hold of my heart, and I get stirred up and cry or whatever. I let it go because there's no more mask to wear. There's no more game to play. There's no more routine to go through. Life gets real in a hurry. And when it does, thank God, there's grace. Grace is no longer a theological concept or a biblical word in my life. Grace is a reality. And it is amazing, and it is greater than all our sin. Sung that song so many times, and many of you probably have too. But when the rubber hits the road or when the wheels come off the wagon, it becomes more than just words. It becomes more than just a song. Boy, I have a lot on my heart, so much going on here today that I want to respond to. Kind of feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I don't know where to start. You're going to learn real quick that I'm just going to say what I'm going to say, and if I offend you, oh well. Number one, Brother Mike, thank you for this opportunity. It's been, as of 3 weeks ago, it's been 2.5, almost 3 years since I've preached. And for somebody who's done it for 20 years, it's an amazing miracle and opportunity and just an incredible work of God's grace. And I had been off Facebook for a time, and as soon as I got back on it, one of the first people I heard from, actually the first person I heard from, was Mike. And immediately it was, would you come preach? And it blew me away and it floored me and sent me into a tailspin where I sought some other counsel and said, here's what's going on. What do I do? And 3 weeks ago, preached in my home church and now here. And I'm glad to be back at Crossroad. I've preached here 2 or 3 times. Mike only remembers one. So that blesses me. But 2 or 3 times, I always love being here. I love these mountains. I love coming to LAJ. I can wear my boots and nobody looks at me sideways. Beautiful thing. But it's good to be back here. I did get a text from the church attorney, Brother Lewis, and he said, next time you need to do the kids don't try this at home thing. So there's not tore up Bibles and kids having their stomachs pumped because they're trying to eat the pages out of the Word of God. No, that was good stuff. Here's what I'm going to do, and I've prayed about where to go with this and how to handle it and what God would have me to do, and I've tried to leave it open-ended just to be sensitive to the Word of God, to the will of God, and definitely to the Spirit of God. So I'm going to give you some context of where I've been, where I'm at, and then I'm going to tie it into God's Word in Galatians 2:20. Specifically, verse 21, actually, I want to talk to you about frustrated grace. My favorite singer of all time, Christian, secular, whatever genre you want to use, is Russ Taff. Russ, to me, there's only one voice like that, and I've always loved to hear him sing. I love his passion. He made a statement, I am grateful that he never gives up on us. I'm not worthy to be here, but thank God I belong. And I don't know about you, but that speaks to me. Now, if you're here this morning, you have it all together, and you don't struggle and you don't sin, I'm probably about to really bother you. But if you're like me, and you know what it is, to follow hard after God, fall on your face, bloody your knees, get back up, run again, fall again, then we're on the same page. If you do have it all together and don't struggle, it's coming. It's coming. 20 years of serving in youth ministry, nearly 8 years of itinerant speaking, traveling all over the place, traveling internationally. God put me in places that only He could. as a young man in ministry, and then pastoring. Through all that time, I had the unique ability to present a perfect picture of me, of my family. Everything was, we were the postcard for what you want your pastor and his family to be. Problem is, when you're doing that, you're doing it based on everybody else's expectations of you. You don't have the opportunity to be who you are, because if you be who you are, they may not like it. If they don't like it, it causes you issues. Through all that time, I ran 90 miles an hour. I served on every committee, every anything, on state level, all this stuff. Traveled a lot. And just really never took a breath, to be quite honest with you. Went through a lot of conflict in one particular church that put a lot of stress and strain on me and my family, and started getting a little wore down. God connected me with some new people, gave me some opportunity to start being real to a degree. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes, let's talk in gambler terminology, you're holding the cards close to your chest. You may show a couple, but you've probably still got one or two in your hand you're holding. Or you may have one up your sleeve. Or in your boot. Who knows? But very rarely do we actually go boom and put it all out there. Because we're worried what people are going to think. We're worried what they're going to say. The church should be a hospital for the hurting, not a place for the perfect. And if you're going to be a hospital for the hurting, you got to be ready for what people are going to say. You got to be ready to get your own stuff out there. Over time, what began to happen is the pressure and the stress of a lot of changes, a lot of things that I went through began to get to me. I began to sneak off and drink to cope with it. And this is somebody who stood in the pulpit and preached teetotaling, don't touch it, don't get near it, don't look at it, don't smell it. And then it became moderation. And then it became the way I dealt with everything. If you fast forward, it got to the point that I became a functioning alcoholic. The real deal. To the point of where, in order to deal with the shakes, I had to drink again to keep it even. I found myself in a place that I never, ever, ever imagined or dreamed. I found myself in a place that others who had gone through that, I would say, I'd never. Can I give you a good word of advice this morning? Never. Say never. Instead, it has become there, but by the grace of God, go I. And in my arrogance in those days, and people would mess up and would struggle, and I would just, you know, shake my head and what are they thinking? And then I became that person. And I looked in the mirror one day and I couldn't figure out who I was looking at. The wheels had come off the wagon. My marriage was in extreme jeopardy. Went through separations. Went through one filing of divorce that was stopped. And then another. It culminated in a night where I had gotten so bad that I went face down in the front yard while my children looked through the window and watched. They had never seen me that way. They never knew that I had a problem because I was good at it. So that led me into an opportunity to pick up the phone next day, call a man that I knew and said, I need help now. So I went into a place called Hope Quest. It's a recovery ministry in Woodstock, connected to the church that I came out of there. And in order for me to do that, I had to expose myself. There was no more pride at that point. There was pure desperation, fearing literally for my own life because of what I had become. And so I didn't care what anybody thought. It didn't matter. And I went into this program, spent 90 days, and encountered God in a way that I had never before. Everything became real because everything of me was done. There was nothing left of me. I didn't have anything. I had no more opinions. I had no more agenda. I had no more argument. There was no more pride. It was crushed. I was destroyed. And I was ready to listen to what God wanted to say and what God wanted to do. And I experienced a change and a transformation in my life being turned upside down in a way that I can't even really articulate to you. It was massive. Things that I had preached for years and preached with passion because I believed them, I now understood them. It's different. We can talk about it all day long. But when it's dark and nobody's around, and your life has just exploded because of your own self-inflicted suffering, did you grab hold of the reality of grace? You grab hold of the reality of the unconditional love of God. All of a sudden, these words that you read, that you've sung, that you've preached, that you've taught in a class, whatever the case may be, you can feed off of them. They become food because you are desperate. You're thirsty. You're hungry. And God becomes real. He's not somebody you just talk about. He's somebody that you know. And everything changes. Through all of that, I ended up, once I came through all that, I ended up going back and mentoring and being a part of that ministry. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. A pastor friend of mine wrote me letters while I was in there. And I wrote him back one day and I said, remember how we used to talk about what church should be? I said, the good news is I found it. The bad news is it's in a rehab. But I experienced real community. I experienced genuine people. They didn't care to tell you, man. Some of the stories that came out of those guys would keep you up at night, and did keep me up at night. I was in there with heroin addicts, with dealers, with guys that ran prostitution. My roommate was a 21-year-old heroin addict, heroin dealer who ran high-dollar prostitution out of Miami. 21. And I'm sitting there going, whoa, huh? And then I met more. I met a man who had spent an incredible amount of time in prison. He was the real deal. The stories he told were incredible, of the crimes he had committed and the things he had done. I won't. There's no reason to go there. But all of a sudden, I'm in this place and I'm so far out of my comfort zone. And there's nothing better than when they tell you their story and they look and go, now, what's your deal? And I'm like, this is going to be fun. Well, I'm a pastor. But I didn't mind. I didn't care. And I just threw it out there. And I've learned that, number one, that's extremely freeing. Number two, it's okay to say, I don't care what they think. I don't. Because we live most of our lives doing what we do because of what people expect. Can I tell you, there's only one opinion that matters? The one who spoke everything into existence is the same one who knows everything we've done, everything, yes, that too, and He loves us anyways. I never understood that to the degree that I did in those days and in those moments and right now as I stand before you. Turn to Galatians 2:20, if you would. Or I guess it's right there. You don't have to turn. This is cool. It makes it so much easier. True grace has no expectations. No expectations. No conditions. No limits. We think, I'll speak for me, I think, used to think, that God loved me to a degree. I would say God is love. His love is unconditional. But in my heart, there were those things where I was like, there's no way He can love me because of this, because of that. I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, and by personal experience, there is no limit. There is no condition. You can blow it wide open, I know, and He still loves you. I'm learning now, He can still use you. I didn't think that possible. It's taken me, Brother Mike, over a year to get to the place where I'd be willing to accept, yeah, God can still do something with you. Because the shame was so insane. And it engulfed me. But I'm telling you, no condition, no limits. E.E. Cummings said, "To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best day and night to make you everybody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. To be yourself when everybody else is wanting you to be something else will wear you out." Brennan Manning said, "On my own, I cannot receive it, for even receiving it is a gift. For example, the grace to grasp grace is grace. In and of ourselves, we can't even handle it. I couldn't. It took me nearly the full 90 days before I finally went, okay." And the reason we struggle with that is because we want to be a part of it in our own effort. God says, "No. You can have no part of this. It's a gift that I give to you." In Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul writes to the Galatians who are struggling with all kinds of legalism, falling back into rules and regulations instead of walking in grace. And Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, I've preached that verse right there more times than you can imagine. I used to be known for it. I would actually get calls to come to churches and they would say, "Would you please preach Galatians 2:20? But as of just a few weeks ago, I'm reading and I looked at verse 21. I went, "I've never preached that." I've preached the context before verse 20. I've preached verse 20. I've never paid attention to verse 21 where Paul says, "I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." In the King James, he says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." And that hit me like a ton of bricks because that's exactly what I had done. Rather than receive it and walk in it, I frustrated it. I set it aside because I wouldn't allow it to consume me. I couldn't receive it. And I struggled with unforgiveness. The lyrics in that song that we just saw, being able to forgive yourself. I want you to know under God, that's one of the hardest things in the world. I can forgive a lot of people for a lot of horrible things, but forgiving me was awful. Couldn't get there. Finally got there, thank God, by the grace of God. When I began preparing this message, I said, "Lord, I really don't want to have to do points. I am a Baptist by heritage. Had been delivered. I'm actually a part of a Baptist church again. God's funny. But they're sweet people. They know everything about me. They know my junk, inside and out. And they love me. And that's where I need to be." But I didn't want to do 3 points. But that's how it came out. I said, "Here's the deal, God. I'll do the 3 points, but I'm not doing an illustration. I'm not doing a joke. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to do the points." The good news is all 3 of them are pointless, and you'll understand what I mean in just a minute. First point is that there's pointless grace. Paul says, "I do not frustrate. I do not set aside the grace of God." The word literally means to make void, to nullify, to make it useless, to make it pointless. If I don't receive it, listen, it's pointless. It's of no good in my life because I'm not using it. I'm not accepting it. I'm not receiving it. One of the things that can make grace pointless as well is when we take it too far, to extremes. It's in Hebrews 6:1 where Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. Exactly. So you can take grace to the other level where you go, "Well, I'm under grace. I can do whatever I want to." Guess what? You can. You shouldn't. Paul said, "God forbid." Martin Luther said, "If you're going to sin, sin boldly. If you're going to blow it, enjoy the grace of God and blow it up." Not sure I get that. I understand theologically where he's coming from, but practically that could get out of hand. Matter of fact, here, I'll give you a vulnerable moment. I'm just going to be me. Can y'all handle that? I'm not going to put on. I was preaching one time, and I quoted that. "Sin, if you're going to sin, sin boldly." And I said, oh man, I said, "If you're going to sin, pick something fun. Don't waste it on gossip. and bitterness and backbiting and all that junk. And it was a Baptist church. I said, like we Baptists do. I said, have fun. Get a margarita. Go sit on the beach. Had no idea how I'd eat those words one day. But honestly, I mean, you get my point. You can take it to extremes. And there's a pendulum principle that you and I, by the grace of God and under the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, have to find this middle ground. Because we can swing so far this way that we don't ever even acknowledge the grace of God. Because we're so full of works and religion and rules and regulations, which cannot save you, nor do they sanctify you. And then there's the other extreme where we go, I'm going to live however I want to. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but they're not all expedient. It's not necessarily practical to live like a lunatic because you're under grace. So there's this middle ground that we're looking for. If we get out of balance on that, it's a pointless grace. Number two, there's a pointless good. Paul says, for if righteousness comes by the law, our righteousness, our goodness, if it's up to the law, the rules, the regulations, all that stuff, we're sunk. The law is not the thing put in front of you to say, you meet these and everything's going to be good. Guess what? You cannot meet them. But there's one who can. And he did. On your behalf. Your righteousness doesn't come by the good things you do. Matter of fact, Isaiah says your righteousness is as filthy rags. Pointless. We get all excited. Look at what I'm doing. Look at how I'm serving. Look at, hello, filthy rags. Unless it's done through the righteousness of Christ. Unless your motivation is for the love of God and out of a heart to serve others. Paul, actually, in chapter 3, the first part, gets on to the Galatians and he uses a very affectionate term when he says, oh, you foolish Galatians. That's how he opens chapter 3. Paul did not have decorum. He didn't mind saying what needed to be said. He said, you're foolish. Who has bewitched you? Who has fooled you into thinking that you can go back and practice all the do's and don'ts and rules and everything's going to be fine? No. You're missing grace. You're missing grace that says, if you get it right, cool. If you get it wrong, cool. It's okay. It's okay. He still loves you. Let me give you, this may be worth the whole trip. You need to know something this morning, because some of you, and I was one, have been told differently. You've been taught differently. Listen to this. God's not mad. He's not mad at you. We think He is. We think when we blow it that He's mad. And Daddy's about to take us to the woodshed. Now, we may suffer consequences for our actions. We do. We will. God's not mad. He's Daddy. That's why Jesus called Him Abba. It's an affectionate term. Because He's not mad. It's a pointless good. Our righteousness is not by the things that we do. It's only through the grace of God and Christ. Number three, there's a pointless grave. Because Paul ends that verse by saying, then Christ is dead in vain. If it's about the law, if it's about all that stuff, then Christ's death is pointless. If we're not responding to the grace of God, it's pointless. If we're trying to be good on our own, it's pointless. If it's about the law making us righteous, then even the resurrection is pointless. 1 Corinthians 15 is where Paul says, if Christ is preached and He rose from the dead, how come some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. He goes on to say that you're yet in your sins. Good King James English. Ye are yet in your sins. Can I translate? You're stuck. You are stuck in your sin and your stuff, and you can't get out if Christ did not rise. It's all in vain. Your faith is in vain. I mentioned the song, Grace That Is Greater. I want you to hear these lyrics. And I mean hear them. Because I do now. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. You can blow right through that verse and miss the fact that it says, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. I don't know about you, a lot of sin, a lot of guilt. His grace is bigger than that. And you're going to get to that point where you go, I've gone too far. There's no turning back. God's going to go, no, 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 no. It's bigger than that. You have not blown it too much. My grace is bigger. The chorus, you know it. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Listen to this verse. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold. I get that. I spent a lot of time in the panhandle. Loved to surf. Loved to be in the water. But there were days where it was cold, and when a wave would hit you, your heart would stop and your breath would go because it was so cold. Side note, ADD. That song that was written that they did the baptism at sunset. Having lived in Florida on the panhandle, do you know that it takes a lot of faith to get in the water at sunset? Feeding time. Sharks. As soon as you told that, I was like, now that's faith. That's because I would not be in the water at dusk, I can tell you. Sorry, I had to go there. Threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Don't miss that word, refuge. Because when we blow it, and we do, and if you haven't, you will, you're going to need somewhere to run to. You're going to need somewhere to hide. My particular addiction, first thing you do is isolate and get away from everybody. You won't talk to anybody. You're going to hide. What I know now is, if you're going to hide, you better hide under the shadow of the cross of Christ and the refuge that is Him. Another verse in that. Two more verses, I lied. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. We think we're hiding it, nobody knows. Guess what? Number one, God knows. Number two, more people know than you think they do. Number three, you can't hide it. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. I fought that for a very long time. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. And no, that is not referring to Alabama. That's referring to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brighter than snow you may be. Don't miss this word. Today. You want me to tell you one of the most important things you can do when you're dealing with stuff, whether it's addiction, the list can go on and on. You fill in the blank. Because statistically, one in one are dealing with something of some sort. And by the way, the question is not, are you addicted? The question is, what are you addicted to? My particular issue was alcohol. For some of you, it's work. For some of you, it's the TV. For some of you, it's I'd rather be out shopping. Do you know there's a spending addiction? I met people that have it. It's freaky. And men, don't say, yes, my wife has it. That will not bode well for you. But here's the deal. When life gets tough, and it does, you're going to cope somehow because you don't want to deal with it. What we have to do is come to the place where it's okay to admit life's tough right now and I'm struggling and I want to deal with it. And the best thing you and I can do is come to the place where our coping mechanism is the cross. It's Him. It's not anything else, but it's Him. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? The first time you say, I'm going to deal with this tomorrow, bam, you have put yourself in a bad place. I almost went into Hope Quest in May. It took me till December. Went in May, met with them, looked at everything, because I knew then trouble was coming. Went home, said, I got this. Started going to Celebrate Recovery. Everything's going to be cool. By December, I'm face down, unconscious in my front yard in front of my children. Don't you dare let your own mind or let the enemy say to you, we'll deal with this tomorrow. Procrastination on issues like this, and it may be other decisions. If you're sitting here going, I don't struggle with anything, this doesn't pertain to me. Yeah, it does. Hang on. It does. Because there's things that God deals with us on, and we put it off and we put it off, and we do. We just dismiss the whole idea until it goes away. and later the consequences come. Will you this moment His grace receive? Let me fast forward here a little bit. It's interesting talking about the expectations of others molding us and putting all this pressure on us that causes us to eventually cope and act out. Even Peter dealt with this earlier in Galatians 2. Paul had to confront Peter because Peter's gone back into the legalism. He's hanging out with the Jewish people, going back to all that. And Paul comes to him and he says, I love Paul's words, I withstood him to the face. Can I translate? He got up in his stuff and said, Peter, no. No. It's grace. In his grill. That was good. It's grace. And you and I can easily become like Peter and go back to the routine of religion. When the whole time God's going, you got grace. Go do your thing. And when you blow it, it's okay. We're going to move on. It's all right. My grace is greater than your sin. Grace is worth fighting for. The biggest fight is our ability to accept and receive it. You don't fight to obtain grace. It's a gift. You don't do that. The fight is taking it. Being humble enough, transparent enough, vulnerable enough to say, I can't do it. I'm messing it up. And to receive His grace. Jason Crabb, who I've become a huge fan of, wrote this song, and these words blew me away. No money, no new friends. You've hit rock bottom of the bottle again. Losing hope, losing control, and now the devil's coming after your soul. But don't give up. Don't be scared, because brother, I've been there. Can you feel it? Change is coming. Someone's working on a plan. There's a reason for your suffering. Hold on just as long as you can, because when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. The Lord giveth, the Lord takes away, and leads you out and leads you looking for a change. On your knees, losing it all, like the trees losing their leaves in fall. I know you're there, I know you're cold, but you're not alone. Because when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. I personally didn't believe that. I thought it was over. God's mad. I've hurt everybody within a 50-mile radius and further. I've destroyed things. Family's a wreck. It's over. I had no idea that when I was down to nothing, God was up to something. And I won't go into it, but I'm telling you, the last month, I was sharing with Brother Mike earlier, I've seen things and experienced things that were not initiated, orchestrated, can only be explained by God being up to something. And it blows my mind because I don't deserve it. Guess what? Neither do you. But He gives it anyways. God freely forgives, unconditionally loves, and gives great grace. We struggle to forgive ourselves, to understand His love, and to receive His grace. Because to receive it requires that we expose ourselves. If you're going to receive it, you got to get honest. We have to be exposed. Brennan Manning also said, whatever is denied cannot be healed. If I've got a cut, maybe on my leg or something, and I cover it, don't do anything with it, but just cover it and just keep moving on, it may be hidden, but guess what? It's still bleeding. It's going bad. It's only when I take time to expose it and have it dealt with, and have it tended to, and cared for, that it will heal. The reason you and I continue to struggle with things is because we don't want to put it out there. We're denying it, and therefore missing out on the healing of it. Because we're worried. What are they going to think? What are they going to say? I'm going to give you two words that may set you free. You can write it down if you want to. Who cares? Who cares what they think? You better deal with your stuff before God and before whoever else you want to. Here's what I did for years. Let me give you, in recovery, they call it distorted thinking. Here was my thinking. The things that I struggle with, I'll talk to God about. but nobody else. It's okay, I'm talking to God. It's cool, right? No. You got to get vulnerable, and you got to get it out there, and you got to deal with it. When I've had the opportunity to talk to people about this stuff in different situations, here's the one thing I say to them, because usually that's what I hear. I can't say anything. You know how many pastors I've already dealt with? You know how many are out there right now? Blow your mind. When I got out of recovery and everybody found out what happened, my phone rang off the hook. And it was crazy. And here's what I said to them. What you're waiting for is, number one, somebody to give you permission to expose your junk. To say it's okay. Do it. Number two, you're worried about what happens next. I said, let me challenge you. You better be worried about what happens next if you don't say anything. That is the higher consequence and the higher price to pay. It's okay. You can stick your head up above ground and say, here's my stuff. Because you know what? When you say that, there's an awful lot of people around you that are dealing with junk too. First John 8 and 9 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, and I'm telling you, He is, and just, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that word all means in the Greek? All. Everything, even that. Even that thing that your wife doesn't know about, that your husband doesn't know about, that your friends don't know about, and it's eating your lunch if you want to deal with it, but you're scared. Yeah, He can clean that up too. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be pretty. A lot of pain involved in the process, but I'm telling you, under God, the freedom is worth the fight. His grace is greater than all our sin. We don't need to, we don't have to frustrate it anymore by denying it and not receiving it. We need to take hold of it. Hey, would you stand with me? I want to pray with you. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond if you want to. Best thing you can do in dealing with stuff and stepping towards the gift of the grace of God is actually taking a step, doing something. So if you need to pray this morning, if there's a decision you need to make, if you don't know Christ, whatever it may be, the Holy Spirit knows what He's telling you. I don't need to give you a list to check off. But let's just take a few minutes to give you an opportunity to do that. You can come down here and pray. You can pray by your chair. You can. There's no parameters. If I can help you, I'll be glad to. When we're done today, if you want to talk to me off to the side about stuff, I've learned that that happens a lot. You let me know. If you know somebody who's struggling and you know they need help and you want some connection to resources, please, 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 please talk to me. Let's pray. Father, it's only through the name of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus that we can come into Your presence and into Your throne room of grace and obtain mercy and help in our time of need. And Father, there's not a person in this room today that does not have a need. And so I pray what You would do by Your Holy Spirit is just bring that to the surface, let them feel the weight of it, and give them the freedom, the courage, and the strength to receive Your grace today and to say, God, I need help. I need healing. I need You. I need Your grace. And Lord, I pray for the people who struggle deeply with an addiction or whatever, or maybe it's family members, maybe they've grown up in homes that are like that. Everybody is touched by it somehow, some way. And Lord, I pray today that You would give us the grace to start dealing with it and quit denying it and expose it and find the reality that Your grace is greater than all our sin. Lord, move in this time. Draw us to Yourself in a deep way. and then do a work that only you can do, so that we can take no credit and only you can get glory. And I pray that in the matchless, marvelous name of Jesus. Amen.